Blog Talk Radio.
Scripture, I want to say that tonight teaching
or discussion is one that I'd like you to jump in and participate in. This is, like my husband said, an interactive Bible study, and it is an interactive life study for us that are believers and trying to live consecrated lives. So I want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to speak. So if you haven't spoken before but you'd like to, I don't want to force anyone, but I'd like everyone to jump in, take notes, open your Bibles, and just let's go through the scriptures together as a team. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to search your word. I ask you, Father God, to decrease my anxiety, my personality, even my opinions and beliefs, Father God, if they're not in alignment with your word. I ask you, Father God, to completely take over this teaching, this discussion. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts, envelop us right now. Let us not be conscious of the time, but only do what you would have us to do, speak what you would have us to speak about, Father God. And all those things that are fluff and unnecessary and not of you, dear Lord, please remove it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay.
The scripture that we're coming from this evening is Ephesians 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, verse 29. It says, don't use bad language. Say only what is good and helpful to those you are talking to, and what will give them a blessing. In the King James Version, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the healer. Tonight we're going to talk about speaking life and what it means to speak life. You may have heard the song by Toby Mac, Speak Life, Speak Life. And a lot of times people say it, but don't really understand or don't understand the depth of what it means to speak life. We sometimes say it like it's, you know, part of, like when people say God is good and everybody responds all the time. Or people say, how are you doing today? And your response is fine and you. You know, that there's just a response that people learn to say things by rote but not really understanding or not really taking in the depth of what it means. So tonight I want to just kind of touch on what it means to speak life. To speak life. Going back to Ephesians 4, but this time I'm going to begin with verse 17, and I'm going to read to 32. What the Lord is saying for us to do is to live a life separate. Change your mind. To abandon the lifestyle of the unsaved. To abandon or walk away from the way that you used to be. Ephesians 4, verse 17 starts off. It says, let me say this then, speaking for the Lord, live no longer as the unsaved do, for they are blinded and confused. Their closed hearts are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of God because they have shut their minds against him, and they cannot understand his ways. They don't care anymore about right and wrong and have given themselves over to impure ways. They stop
at nothing, being driven by their evil minds and reckless lust. But that isn't the way Christ taught you. If you have really heard his voice and learned from him the truth concerning himself, then throw off your old evil nature, the old you that was a partner in your evil ways, rotten through and through, full of lust and shame. Here comes the consecration. Now, your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better. Yes, you must be a new and different person, holy and good. Clothe yourself with a new nature. Stop lying to each other. Tell the truth. For we are parts of each other, and when we lie to each other, we are hurting ourselves. If you are angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Over it quickly, for when you are angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. If anyone is stealing, he must stop it and begin using those hands of his for honest work so he can give to others in need. Don't use bad language. Say only what is good and helpful to those you are talking to and what will give them a blessing. Don't cause the Holy Spirit sorrow by the way you live. Remember, he is the one who marks you to be present on that day when salvation from sin will be complete. Stop being mean, bad-tempered and angry, quarreling, using harsh words and dislike of others should have no place in your lives. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you, because you belong to Christ. Now notice that in Ephesians, our speaker is talking to not the unsaved, not the heathen. He's talking to us. He's talking to the body of Christ, to those who are believers, who claim to be believers, those who are following Christ. Because we have a tendency, as that is our human nature, to go back and to be what we used to be, what used to work, what seemed like it worked. So how do we know, where do we come to this thing about speaking life? What exactly does it mean? Well, we know that there's power in words. We know that from the beginning of creation, when God began creating the heavens and earth, and the earth was shapeless and chaotic in Genesis 1. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light, and he said it was good. And then we go on, and we see the seed principle carried out, where God said and created the seeds and vegetation, the grass, and made the seed-bearing vegetation so that it was always be regenerated and reproduced. And he said that was good. When God made time, day after day, night and day, on that fourth day, and he looked at his creation and he said that was good. When God made animal life and looked at what he had created, and was pleased and said that was good. And when he made man, how pleased he was. In Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make man, someone like ourselves, to be the master of all life upon the earth and in the skies and in the sea. The power of a word. The power of words. Now, God's words are much different from our words. I talk, I say things. And yes, our words have power, and we'll get back to that. But God's words have supernatural power.
Mm-hmm.
He has the power to create. Amen, amen, amen. God's word teaches us in Proverbs 18:21, the death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruits. Have you ever heard the saying that I'll make you eat your words?
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Because whatever words you speak, that's what you generate.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the seeds you plant. The words that you speak, just like the fruit that the Lord created to regenerate. When He planted the apple tree, mm-hmm. there are many trees within that apple tree because the apple tree's fruit had the seeds for the potential of more and more trees of its kind. When I use words that are evil, words that are negative, and I put them out into the atmosphere, I put them out into my family by speaking things to them that may be negative. When I put those on other people, I've planted a seed of negativity. And it will bear fruit, and I will eat those words.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to eat the words.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same by words that are good. God's word, again, says death and life are in the power of the tongue. We learned that the tongue is something that, although it's a small muscle in our body, one of us in our body, aside from our ears for hearing, but if there are muscles in your ears. He's probably saying that the ears aren't muscles, but they're muscles within the ears. But your tongue is the one area,
mm-hmm.
the one muscle that the Lord says is unbridled, that the scriptures tell us over and over and over again to watch your tongue, watch what you say, watch your words. And the Lord shows us the power of the words in the Old Testament and the New Testament over and over and over again. Proverbs tells us over and over and over again about life and death being in the power, this life and death are in the power of the tongue, that you can speak life or you can speak death,
mm-hmm.
that you can speak blessings or you can speak cursing. Proverbs tells us that a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perseverance in it breaks the spirit. Perverseness. Perverseness breaks the spirit. We're supposed to preserve life with our mouth, not ruin life with our mouth. How do you ruin life? When you gossip, when you lie, when you speak evil words, when you speak something negative, when you speak death and destruction, it ruins life.
Hmm.
It ruins life. Mm-hmm. And just like the scripture that I read in Ephesians 4, that when you are angry, you give the mighty foothold to the devil. It's a doorway for the enemy to come into your life. Now, I anticipate I'm writing right now about spiritual warfare. Like, I'm calling it in my mind spiritual warfare 101. But one of the primary principles of spiritual warfare is to understand the power that we have by controlling our tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in our flesh, the natural man can't control our tongue because it's too easy for us to go back to what we know. Just like in Ephesians, we're told not to go back to what you know. Don't go back to what you know. Paul is saying that it's too easy. It's too easy to go back to the familiar. That you have to keep pressing on in Christ and giving your life over daily to Christ. Change your mindset. Having a kingdom mindset, not a worldly mindset.
Mm-hmm.
See, the worldly mindset says that when you get pressed, or you're in a situation that you don't care for, or somebody crosses you, that you cuss them out, you tell them off. The worldly mindset says that it's okay that whatever comes up comes out. I've heard that saying over and over again, that you don't need to, so-and-so doesn't bite their words. They just speak what's on their mind. That's a worldly mindset. God's word says that you look at your words, that you examine your words, because your words are a reflection of what's in your heart.
Amen.
Words are a reflection of what's down inside. So if you haven't been renewed, if you haven't turned over your life to Christ, and that's something we have to do daily,
mm-hmm.
daily, every morning. Lord, help me to choose my words wisely. Help me to walk circumspectly, that I walk and I'm not leaving a trail of destruction and a bad reputation behind me, that I'm walking in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, that I'm a good representative of the kingdom, of the body of Christ. Praise God. God's word in Proverbs says a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So you can change a situation if you're in a situation or have an issue where there's wrath, where there's confusion, where there's anger, by toning it down, by using a soft answer. World. Yes, did someone want to add something?
Susie, I was going to say that, you know, we have to be intentional about that. It's not something that just comes easy. It's a choice. It's a choice that you make within that you're going to walk in truth. And when you speak, you're only going to speak those things that edify or build up rather than to destroy each other. And we know we are good at that. We're good at that.
Amen.
And the world advocates. You mean to tell me you didn't tell them so-and-so when they said that to you? But that's not our nature. We can't go at people the way, like you said, we used to be. You know, we used to do. You know, you curse them out and, ooh, yes, and you feel good about it. But when you say those words and you leave all of that, guess what? You can't undo it, because they do bring life. He said his word is medicine and life, the medicine and life to our flesh. So every time we speak a word, it can bring crops. It'll bring a good crop or a crop failure, however we want to speak it. But we have to be careful, and as I said, intentional about that. Each day is intentional that I'm going to speak only those things that are going to edify. Because once you put them out there, you can't get it back.
Amen. And just like the word says death, sometimes people say, well, that's, you know, those are fables. That's not, you know, nobody, you know, I said so-and-so, I cussed so-and-so out, and they didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
But it's death. It doesn't necessarily mean immediate death.
Physical death, right.
There's death to possibility.
Mental, emotional, yeah, all of that, yeah.
Yeah, your emotions. Mm-hmm. When people speak negative, I want you to think about, for those of you that have children, we talk about self-fulfilling prophecies and how we need to speak things over our children, over our children and speak blessings over our children. And some of our children I know with my children, they've been prayed for. I believe that the children should be blessed. A blessing should be placed on them,
mm-hmm.
with their babies and so forth. And so prophecies went forth over the children.
Yeah.
The good words went forth over them of what they were going to do as they grow up and who they can be when they,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
when they grow up. Their lives are going to be. But we have to speak that every day as they go to school. That they're beautiful and wonderfully made. That they have the mind of Christ. We speak those things
mm-hmm.
over our children.
Mm-hmm.
That the children are highly favored,
mm-hmm.
and everyone that
yes.
comes in contact will recognize that they're a child of God and they have the favor of Christ on them. That as they go to school,
mm-hmm.
they'll have a sound mind.
Amen.
That they will choose their words wisely, that they will make decisions
mm-hmm.
wisely, that they will choose their friends
mm-hmm.
wisely. So we make these things and we pray over them. But and those that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy for the child that has had someone putting blessings
yes.
over them,
yes.
telling them
Amen.
How wonderful they are. But there's also the self-fulfilling prophecy when you have a parent or someone in your life that's telling you you're stupid.
Yes.
Or that you, you're not going to see anything. You just like your such fill in the blank. That why in the world would you do so-and-so? You ain't never done such-and-such. Oh, here we go again. He's such a loser. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a such-and-such. Speaking those words, which will do the same thing and bring back the same thing. When we, there's a saying that professionally that I had learned, you inspect what you expect. So if I am looking
I like
for,
that.
If I am looking for good things, I will find good things. If I
Amen.
Speak good things, more good things will propagate. Just like Reverend Maddie said, that more good things will come forth. But if I'm looking for evil, I will always find evil. If I'm looking for the bad and the worst, I will always find the bad and the worst. And it gives the enemy permission to continue to multiply it. Continue to multiply. I'll see more and more. That person or the situation will not get better. It will continually go the other way.
That's right.
So every day when we have to choose life or death. We have to choose blessings or cursing. We're choosing heaven or hell. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Anyone else?
Amen. Amen.
Anyone else? You see, the spoken word.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with everything that has been said. It's been a very powerful Bible study today. Excuse me for that.
Yeah.
But anyway, speaking life, I've heard that many times, and even professionally, as a clinical counselor, I've seen so many kids whose parents said negative things to them. You look like your father. You look like your mother. You remind me of your grandmother. She's an alcoholic. But you hear so many negative things. Thus, you create a self-fulfilling prophecy. And even in marriage, you look for the good in a person, not the negative. If you look for the negative, you'll surely find it. Any of the people you align yourself with, it's the same is true. You align yourself with negative people, you're going to be negative. You want to spiritually grow. You can spiritually die by just the association. But you want a spiritual uplifting as we grow. And we have to thank God every day we wake up. And we stand on our feet and do what God's will is, not what we want to do, but what God's will is.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
And
Amen.
Be very careful about what you said. That word, the tongue is a very powerful tool. It can be used for good. It can be used for bad. But just the wrong word could be enough to cause someone to kill themselves, to commit suicide. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. So anyway, you want to be the straw that builds a person up, not tear them down.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Even in your own life, when you speak negativity over your own life, what happens? It pulls you down. You become depressed and negative because you're playing back what someone else has said or even what you have said about yourself. But that doesn't necessarily have to be true. But I tell you what, you can claim crop failure on anything that you speak that is not of God. Just, I've said it too many times, said things and I knew that it was wrong. And I say, I claim crop failure on that word right now. And I take it back. I know. I'm not going to allow that to take root in anybody's life. I take it back right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So we can speak. We can speak the word of God over our lives and be successful, or we can speak defeat, which is what the enemy wants you to do.
Amen. Amen.
Well, this is my side by doing this.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay. In the Old Testament, a good example would be where was Ezekiel with the dry bones, Ezekiel 37.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And
37.
Mm-hmm. 37. Where the Lord prophesies about the bones, about the dry bones.
Mm-hmm.
And these were
mm-hmm.
dry bones, been dead, dried up, no smell, it's gone, no flesh. Okay?
Right.
And the Lord teaches him, tells him what to say, prophesies and tells him what to say.
Yes.
And Ezekiel repeats what the Lord says, and the dry bones begin to rise. You hear the sound of clapping together and coming back together. And the sinews
mm-hmm.
and the flesh begins to come on there.
On the
bones, that they
yes. yes.
come back together. Because it was spoken. Because the Lord said it. Ezekiel was obedient, and it was spoken.
All right.
So they...
Amen.
By the same
mm-hmm.
token, when we look in the New Testament, because some folks say, well, that's not, we live in the New Testament now, Susie, so what are you talking about? Well, think about with Jesus. When Jesus called Lazarus, he waited for Lazarus, definitely dead. Okay? Well, there was no reason to believe that anything else was going to happen. Let's just go bury him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even lay his hand, but went to the opening of the grave and just called his name.
Amen.
Just called his name, and he rose.
Yes.
He spoke it.
Yes.
He spoke it, and he rose. And we have other examples of Jesus' words. Also the example of when he cursed the fig tree, and it died.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That he
mm-hmm.
cursed the fig tree,
mm-hmm.
died immediately, not over time,
mm-hmm.
immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There is power in the tongue. We're supposed to be careful
Amen.
With what we say.
Amen.
Be careful with what we say because we do have power in our words.
Power.
Our words make
yes.
a difference. As a child, I was taught, sticks and stones may break my bones. But names will never hurt.
The words will never hurt.
That's not true. That was
Amen.
Sure is. It's a good rhyme mm-hmm. to get a kid to keep playing. It's a good rhyme to get a kid to stay in the game. But
yes.
the truth is that words can be very detrimental. Words can
Amen.
Be very hurtful.
Amen.
The words can
Amen.
Also be a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So
whatever
true.
Things
so true.
Philippians 4:8 says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. And if any virtue
mm-hmm.
and if anything is praiseworthy, meditate on
Amen.
These things. Okay?
Amen.
Things that are good.
Amen.
Be a blessing, not a curse. Now, Sister Maddie said, and Norman too, that be a blessing even to yourself. You can speak life to yourself.
Amen.
You can speak life to yourself. Speak the scriptures
yes.
to yourself. And that's what where I'm going with this, is that the scriptures tell us what to do. It tells us that we can all do all things through Christ in Philippians 4.
Amen.
That we can do all
mm-hmm.
things through Christ. And one of the things
mm-hmm.
that we can do, Lord has teaches us to do, it's not only to pray and to serve others, but to be able to speak to yourself, to be able to speak
Amen.
When the enemy is saying one thing, if you say, no,
yes. Yes.
God says that I am
mm-hmm.
fearfully and wonderfully made. When the enemy says
yes.
that I'm not good enough or I'm not
mm-hmm.
ready, I can say, Lord, that I am prepared and that he is with me, so I have nothing to fear.
All right.
When the Lord, enemy says, why don't you just give up? Why don't you just give up? Your situation is hopeless. I have Romans 5, and the Lord says that hope is not lost, that he's given, that
Amen.
My hope is in him.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
When the enemy
Amen.
Says, how terrible I am, I said, there is no condemnation in Christ.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Yes.
6:8, when the enemy says, you're not enough, you're not good enough, I can say in 2 Corinthians 12 that his grace is sufficient.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Also, I'm accepted in the beloved as well, Susie. I'm accepted.
Amen. Amen.
In the
I'm
beloved.
Accepted.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I'm encouraging
you. Go on.
Before we go on, I'd like to know, does anyone else have anything to say? Now, this teaching was exhausting. This was just, you know, my overview of what's on my heart right now.
All right. Amen. Amen.
So I know that a lot of you,
Looking at Mark 11:22 is talking about praying, but it's still reinforce what you're saying about speaking and speaking words. He said, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he hath said come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith.
Amen.
You can speak it into existence. Amen.
Amen. And let's keep going. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. And if you have aught against any, your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Amen.
Oh, my God. Amen. That's a mouthful right there.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yep. So use God's word. So I'm going to give you all some examples of some of the words that I use. I have a prayer book that I use called The Word Works, and I have bought so many copies this book and given them away and used them in Bible study, like women's Bible study. I ask sometimes when I've done that, that the women buy these and given them to my daughters and daughter-in-laws and spiritual daughters to have, to pray the word. For instance, just to pray the word, that I listen, see, speak, and do what God's word says. His blessings come upon me and overtake me. The Lord gives me the abundance of all things. He blesses the fruit of my body, my ground, and everything I set my hand to. That's Deuteronomy 28, verses 1, 2, 4, and 8. I keep myself from everything appears to be evil, and I hold fast to the good things of the Lord. I have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, including any addiction. That's 1 Thessalonians and Ephesians 5. I am a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5-17, and all the old things, including cussing, including pornography, including lying, including stealing, all of those things.
Amen.
Because I am a new creature in him.
Amen.
Yeah. I refuse to be discouraged. God is with me. He never leaves me, and he will never forsake me. That's Hebrews 13:5. Speak the word over your life, the word over your family. When you hear the negative words, like I've heard people say things to children, and I'll say under my breath, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's a lie from the pit of hell. I do not accept that. Or in confusion, separate yourself from it. Quiet yourself. Separate yourself from it. Begin to pray in the spirit. Because people who do that don't understand that their words have power.
Amen.
To complain and criticize people, if you're not a blessing, you're a curse. It's one or the other.
Amen.
If you're not a blessing,
like
you're
yes.
cursed. Okay?
Yes.
If not, if you're not helping the solution, if you're not coming up with a solution, then you're part of the problem.
All right.
You have to decide, what are you going to be? If you can continually complain about the problem with no resolution, something's wrong. If you have separated yourself from kingdom people, but you go to those folks that'll listen to your complaint, listen to your backbiting, listen to the criticism, listen to the slanderous remarks that you make about your mate, about your friend, your coworker, your boss, whatever, about your situation, but who also offer no solution, that don't steer you back to Christ, then you're in the wrong camp.
Mm-hmm. All right,
you're in the wrong camp.
All
life
right.
will never come from that. Life will never come from that. We even have to be careful with even in the church, because the church has those that will gossip. Some folks call
Say
it
that.
The we'll say, well, did you hear about so-and-so? I'm telling you because I want you to pray. Pray immediately then.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes.
Don't keep passing the bad news on, but not praying on behalf or interceding on behalf of your sister and brother. So this isn't just worldly stuff. We need to all examine our hearts. God is
Amen.
My hiding place and my help in trouble. When I need a help, the Lord helps me and he delivers me. He has delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. And all of that is in the song. I refuse to doubt or fear, be discouraged or defeated. My hope is in the Lord.
Yes, hallelujah.
He is my help.
Amen.
He is my sustain.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
Amen. Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes.
Faith.
You can't
word,
beat
word.
Praying the word. That's for sure. Amen.
You can't
Amen.
Beat praying the word. Pray the word
That's
over
right.
your situation. Pray the word over your circumstance. Pray the word over your issue. Pray the word over your family. Let your children hear you praying the word. Let them
Amen.
Hear you use the word over them. Pray the word over your marriage. Pray the word
Amen.
Faith
and Susie,
hearing the word. Each time you speak the word, you are increasing your faith and renewing your mind to think in line with God's word. A renewed mind thinks the way he thinks. The way the Lord thinks. A renewed mind speaks the way he speaks.
Yes.
A renewed mind sees the world the way he sees the world.
Yes.
A renewed mind sees the word the way he sees the word, as an accomplished fact before it is seen in the natural. So even though you may not see it in the natural, we speak those things that be not as if they are.
Hallelujah.
Into existence. You speak them into existence.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
You have the
Amen.
Choice to speak the positive into existence or speak the negative into existence. Which fire did you want to
see?
Amen.
Yeah. Yes, amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen.
And you know, Susan, also when we pray the word, that's a promise. That God has, if he said it, he does it. So now
Amen.
When we pray, now you have an assurance that you will get what you ask for because it's in his word. You know, sometimes
Amen.
We ask for stuff, but we don't know whether we have his will on it or not. But if it's in his word, it's a promise kept. And he is
and
a covenant-keeping God. And what he's promised, he will come to do. He will do.
Yes.
And he
Amen.
Says that he's not like a man that he should lie, neither like the son of man that he will repent. He said, have I not spoken it and not brought it to pass? Or either brought
Amen.
It to pass and have not spoken it?
So you got Amen. You got assurance when you pray his word back to him.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank
That's
you.
Right.
Thank you.
Amen. Speak the promises.
Yes.
Speak the
yes.
word.
Speak
Stand
the promise.
By his
Amen.
Word.
Yes.
By
yes.
and deliver
yes.
his word.
Good evening, all.
All right.
Hello?
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Are you can hear me?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
This is Miles. How everybody doing this evening?
Hi, Pastor
Miles. Thank you.
I wanted to. All right, good evening. I want to throw a little something, a little different in the game, for what
okay.
you have said tonight. When you are speaking the words of life, we must also understand we are not saying that things are not right. Sometimes we have to acknowledge the wrong. So that we can attack the wrong.
Right.
We have to acknowledge. Now, we're not confessing the wrong because I feel in my spirit that someone's going to take that. Well, I don't have to acknowledge that wrong that's there because all I got to do is speak
oh,
life.
Mm-hmm. I hear what you're
you know,
saying. Yes.
Because, see, now there are many churches out here, and some are really on television that will not acknowledge any wrong. And the only way you can. They only speak good to the people, and all they want to hear is God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. However, they still purchase a spiritual death on the installment plan because
right.
they're not trying to correct that sin.
Mm-hmm.
So
right,
you
now.
Have to, the first step to solving any problem, you have to identify the problem.
Amen.
All right.
Yes.
Amen.
So, and then once you identify the problem, you reason
mm-hmm.
with that problem. And like, because I did this in my with myself when I was going through my things.
Mm-hmm.
I had to identify the problem. I had to
yeah.
find this problem in Scripture, and then I speak
yeah.
those things.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. I agree with you.
Yes.
I agree with John.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Ma'am.
Pastor
Miles, you're talking about part two of this lesson. Part
I'm sorry. See, I didn't got ahead.
No, you're right, because that's the next step. So when we examine what our responsibility is and where we are,
yes.
When we have spoken those things that are wrong, we were part of the problem. We get our part together, then how do we approach,
Amen.
Like you said, the problems in
Amen.
The world? Now, we can talk about, like we've talked about online before, the social, we talk about social justice, because you know that's my heart.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the
yes.
things that the Lord has put with social justice. There's things in the world that are definitely ungodly, and we have people that are claiming to be part of the body of Christ and supposed to be my kingdom brothers and sisters that
Come
are claiming
now.
Do
Come on. Yeah.
that are part of the problem of the unrest and causing and speaking and death. And destruction of other people in the body of Christ. Okay,
so I'm
with you. We have to identify the problem. Yes, we need to love them, but there needs to be correction. Comes with that also.
Amen.
And the Lord gives
Amen.
The Lord gives the tools for correction on how we make correction.
Yes.
So all correction isn't criticism. All correction is
no.
doesn't mean it's complaining is two different
right.
things. Correction means
so
coming back to
so
alignment.
Good.
And I believe that
yes,
we
as
members of the body of Christ need to accept correction when it's offered. And we need to accept that for reconciliation. Reconciliation, and I'm not just talking about reconciliation in the natural where we talk about racial reconciliation, but reconciliation with Christ, because if there's
Amen.
If
Amen.
There's If there's that type of separation and destruction and that stuff going on, people are becoming further, more and more separated from the body of
uh-huh.
Christ.
Uh-huh. I agree. I agree with that. Oh, honestly. Yes. Yes. So
Thank
true.
You,
well, he says to speak the truth in love. When we speak it in love, you know.
Yes,
even when
yes.
we're correcting, it's in love. And Paul even tells us that, you know, am I becoming your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, you speak it in love.
That's
but
what
you,
he said.
You gotta tell
That's
the
what
truth.
He said.
That's what he said. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we gotta speak it in love, but speak truth. Not just be shooting off the cuff. We speak in the Word of God to get so we should align with. You know.
Amen.
So that's where we come in with the as the believers and with the that light in darkness. We come with truth. Rather than co-signing to the lie, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. I remember hearing a parent. I remember hearing a parent chastise his son. And his son did something that was really off the wall, and the boy was raised better than that. So the father brought him over, and the father said, "Some ask you a question. Are you stupid, simple, or slow?" He asked him the question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you stupid, simple, or slow? And he looked at him. He said, "Dad, I'm neither." He said, no, you got to be, son. So are you stupid, simple, or slow?
No.
Hear it out. Don't come to a judge until you hear the whole story. And so then he says, "I'm neither, Dad." He says, "I asked you the question the first time. You said you wasn't. I asked you the question the second time. You said that you're not. So you know that you're not." He says, "Yes. Now we know that you're not. We know that you're not that, right? Yes, Dad. We know. Then why did you act like one of those three categories? Because you know
why." All right. Oh, that's powerful. That's powerful.
He said, "Because you know better.
You know better."
He said,
yes.
He says, "Now." He says, "Now govern yourself accordingly."
Right. Amen. There you go. I do the same thing with my grandchildren. They'll come home from school and say, "Well, Grandma so-and-so was saying this about me." And I stop them right in their tracks. "Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? What did I tell? Who did I tell you that you were based on Jesus Christ? Who did I tell you you were?" And then they'll think about it. "Oh, I'm loved. I'm accepted by him. I'm a princess. I'm beautiful. I'm all of those things above." And that's the way you have to come at them with that, because nobody encouraged me as a child. My parents didn't have that knowledge. But my grandchildren, they getting it every day because I'm giving it to them. I want them to know who they are before they go out into the world and have to face this cruelty that's out there. But they'll have a word to respond to it. They'll be able to respond to it without bitterness and hatred. They'll just give them what Jesus gave them, you know?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
You know, that is important. That is very important what you just said. You know, one of the things that is just as important as being able to deal with, understand what these kids deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
The parents are
there
for them on a daily basis, but the amount of time that we actually give these kids based on what we do in order to be able to provide the necessities for these kids is a little bit short, to the extent that we are not realizing what it is that these kids are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. We are currently involved in a COVID situation that has taken toll on family, the family importance, being able to have these kids receive what they need to receive in order and to understand what has happened, what is getting ready to happen, and be able to prepare them for what's getting ready to happen. One of the most important jobs is for us to understand what has happened and what the impact is on these kids, to the extent that we drive them to a spiritual component that allows them to be able to understand and give them the ability to be able to seek the word, and for them to be able to have their armor in place to deal with currently is what the situation right now. You know?
I agree with that. Yes.
Amen.
I totally agree with that. Yes. You know, and even in this book. Go on.
Go ahead. We have 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Oh, in this current condition that we are in, You have adults, not just children, that are freaking out behind this because they are concerned about, you know, are they going to be here? Are they going to make it? And are afraid to go out and all of that. But you have to know that the God that you know, that he is who he is and who he says he is, and he won't leave me nor forsake me. I have to constantly encourage myself with those things rather than focus on the circumstances of today. I know the circumstances are there, but they don't have to govern and rule my life.
That is so true.
Speak the word of God, as she said, and it brings life. It really does. It brings you hope because now you're not trusting in what you see nor what you feel.
That's right.
Therein lies the dilemma.
More people got more fear in Corona than belief in God. And that thing bothers
well,
me.
There's a reason for that, because we're as adults are not instructing them or providing enough direction for them to be compelled to read the word.
Well, I'm not only talking about children. I'm talking about adults as well. They got more fear for Corona than belief that God's in control.
I agree with you.
And why do you think that's the case? Why do you think that's the case?
I know why.
I believe there's a lack of word inside of them. It's a lack of trust. Like Brother Preacher preached, I think it was last week.
Let me ask you your first question first, if I may.
You said, where does it come from? All right. Well, it comes from they don't have any hope. That means their faith doesn't have anything to grab hold to. And if their faith doesn't have anything to grab hold to, they don't have the word in it. And many times they're listening to somebody who's not preaching or teaching the word so they can have some hope to keep faith.
Amen.
You got a next question? I'll answer that one too.
I'm going to address your response to what I just said.
Okay.
You just said they don't have this, that, and the other. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you work every day?
Well, I work 5 days a week.
That would be
a
probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you come from a strong family background?
Oh, without a doubt, most definitely.
Okay. So based on what you just said, your family history, your family background only gives them the ability for you to be able to transfer and have that level of commitment based on your family commitment and being
your
able to drive that direction to them.
I understand.
When you think about a family that does not have a mother, father, or don't have that level of history in teaching their kids or the adults being able to have things resonated that they've been taught, and you try to spend and you don't transfer that to your kids. There lies the problem.
Well, let me go back a little bit further on that. I say I come from a strong family background. However, Daddy only had a 5th or 6th grade education. Daddy sent me to school, major with elementary school. Mama only had a high school education. So most of what I learned through prayer, Bible, and church, and experiences in the world. So, brother, with all due respect, I don't take that as an excuse.
Wait a minute, I just don't.
Okay.
So I don't receive it. I want to expound on what you just said. You just said that you family history, background, education, right? But they taught you enough for you not to fear what they will experience. It's the education that you give them. It ain't the fifth and graduating from the 5th or 6th grade or not having a GP, whatever. It's about giving them what they should know and understand and be able to deal with life experience. The education is the education you give them, regardless of how far you went in the education process in school.
That's the whole thing. Let me tell you something. My daddy told me, I said I was recording live. My daddy told me, country boy, he said, I sent you to school because I didn't know nothing to tell you.
Oh, all right.
All right,
my
dad was a country boy.
I like
my,
that. I like
my daddy was a country boy. He was a tobacco farmer.
Do you
Excuse
know
me?
The new map? Christ even is this new map. Can you do that?
No.
No, I can do the basic. I can do the basic math.
Get them to complete a math equation.
No.
I can do the basic math.
You can do the basic math. This ain't basic no more. It ain't basic no more.
No, it's not. No, it's
when
not.
They come, when your 8-year-old comes to you with a homework,
yes,
how are you checking the homework?
Well,
how are you checking the homework?
Every time my kids came with homework, I could help them with. No, I don't. Every time my kids came with homework, I was able to help them.
How do you?
I was able
to
help them.
I'm muting my mic.
Good night.
This has been a wonderful day. But before you go, I want to say this, that I want us to be back to the focus of speaking life, that we remember, and I do enjoy the fact that we're talking and we're all talking, but we've run out of time.
Yeah.
Be intentional. Amen. Be intentional with the words that you say. Like, weigh your words. Count the cost of the words that you use. The only way that you can, in our flesh, we can't control our tongue. It's through Christ that we can control our tongue. So we have to consecrate our bodies, our minds, our hearts to Christ. We have to come until we want to live in the kingdom, and we have to live by the kingdom principle. And pray the word. Pray the word of God. Only focus on the things you want. Only focus on the things, the promises that are given to us in God's word. Give no energy to the things that we don't want, to the things of the enemy.
That's right.
Watch how
That's
things
right.
shift when you live a kingdom-driven life. Amen, amen, amen. Father God, I praise your name and thank you for this evening's discussion, dear Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the energy and the lively banter that went back and forth here, dear Lord. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed each and every home that was represented on the line this evening, Father God, those who spoke, Father God, those who listened, Father God, those who wanted to be here, Father God, could not be here, those who've been with us before, and those who will listen to us in the archive recordings, Father God.
Yes.
I thank
yes.
you, Father God. Bless their homes, dear Lord. Envelop their homes, Father God, with the sweet spirit, Father God. And we look forward, dear Lord, to a good, restful night's sleep, Father God, waking up tomorrow, Father God, to go into the world, Father God, speaking those things as you would direct us to speak them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Thank you.
Good night, everyone. God bless you.
Good night.
I can begin it.